it's Joe DeCamera.
And I'm John Ritchie.
Did you know that the 94WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today, alongside Hugh Douglas. Now we are joined by Elliott Shore Parks. Elliott Shore Parks, sponsored by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the fifth C. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Elliott Shore Parks, 94 WIP Eagles reporter, joins us now. What's going on, Elliott?
What up? How you guys doing today?
What's up, Elliott? How you doing, man?
Doing good. I mean, look, that was a great song to come back to. The only thing that made it better was the smooth voice of Tom Kelly on top of
the
it.
The smooth voice.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't you want to hear Tom Kelly rap his part of his intro song? Wouldn't you love
Absolutely.
To hear that?
Absolutely.
He needs to rap that part. You need to rap that part, Tom.
I'm in. You guys want me to do it, I'll do
it. We've all sung on air. They do Creed at 5:30. Hugh sang Crazy a few years ago. I think the least you could do, Tom, is rap the part of your
song. What have you
song.
Ever sung on the air, Elliott?
I sang Backstreet Boys yesterday with Spike
on there.
So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So you're salty.
Wow. Yeah, he checkmated me very quickly.
Yeah. I did. Yeah, no disputing that one.
Yeah, no, there's nothing I could say. Nicely. How'd it go, though, Elliott?
I mean, it was beautiful. How do you think it was?
What song did you sing?
He said,
I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys.
Okay. All right. I didn't know it was I Want It That Way. You just said Backstreet Boys, so I didn't know which song choice.
Song.
Is that the one? Is that your go-to, like, karaoke song?
Nah, I wouldn't say that's my go-to karaoke song. I don't know if I have a go-to karaoke song. I feel like Wagon Wheel maybe would bring the house down. People love that one.
Wagon Wheel.
Bring the house down.
Never heard that.
What is Wagon Wheel? I'm sure you've heard it.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
Well, Kyle will play it. Coming back from the next break, but
that feels like a me decision.
Kyle does not like to be told what to do.
Feisty today, very feisty. But we'll see. Maybe Kyle will do it if he feels like it. But Elliott, we're 6-2. Eagles at the bye. Just your assessment of the first half of the season and where this team is, and what the first half has kind of done. How do you feel about where the team is right now?
Yeah. So I definitely think the team is in a better place, and I feel better about the team than I expected to after 8 games, especially with how the season started, how I thought they looked in training camp. I mean, after that loss to the Giants, like, there was a real chance that this – I don't think it would fall apart completely, but if you consider the history of teams coming off of winning the Super Bowl, how this team, you know, in 2023 went through that slump, like, or collapse, I guess, better way to phrase it. I think the fact that going into the bye week, they're 6-2. I think they're in good shape. I think they're improving. They're obviously getting healthier. So I feel much better about the team. And, you know, I actually think in some ways I feel better about the team now than I did at this point last year. They have more of a pedigree this time around. I think the passing game is better than it was really all year, but especially this time last year. So I didn't expect to be here, but that's how I feel after 8 games.
Well, and one of the things we've been talking about today, Elliott, as I forgot to turn my microphone on, is the hierarchy in the NFC. And obviously you got Green Bay, 5-1-1, Detroit, Bucks, all those teams in the NFC West, all in kind of similar spots here. Where would you rank the Eagles right now in the NFC?
So I think that you can certainly make the argument they deserve to be in the top spot. Won the Super Bowl last year, have a really good record, have a really good resume. They have an MVP candidate in Jalen Hurts on the roster. So, like, I definitely think, you know, putting them at the top spot is not like a homer, you know, green eyes goggled view of it. But I also do think, like, Detroit is probably playing better than the Eagles are. I think the Green Bay defense is probably a better unit than either of the Eagles units right now. I don't have as much faith in the Green Bay offense, but I think those would be the teams that you would look at and say, you know, that they're right there with the Eagles. But the good news is the Eagles get a chance over these next 2 games to go out and prove themselves against them. So I think the Eagles at the top spot is a good argument, but I think Detroit and Green Bay are right there with him.
Right now, how do you assess the play of the quarterback? Look like he's starting to come out a little bit, like starting to hit his stride a little bit. So how do you assess the play of the quarterback, Elliot?
Yeah, so I thought the first month of the season, he wasn't very good. I thought he held onto the ball too much. I thought he turned down chances for big plays down the field. You know, he didn't turn the ball over outside of the really bad interception against the Giants, but I just thought he was the reason the passing game was struggling. But the flip side of that is I think he has improved dramatically as the season has gone on. Was really good in their last game against the Giants, was, you know, debatably perfect against Minnesota the week before, who's one of the best passing defenses, if not the best passing defense in the NFL. But I thought even before that, the passing game showed some signs. The loss to the Giants was obviously a bad one, and Jalen was not good in that game. But you saw signs of the passing game turning it around. Against Denver, you know, there was some missed opportunities there where he was very close to a 300-yard game. So overall, through the first eight games, I think Jalen would probably get like a B-minus, but I think that he is certainly like trending up as the season goes on.
Elliot, trade deadline coming up next week, and obviously we'll get to the AJ part of it. We talked a lot about that, but as far as positions the Eagles could be looking to upgrade, where do you think the top priority is right now for Howie Roseman?
So I think it's that second cornerback spot. I know the edge is something, you know, we all talk about, and look, they could certainly go out and add at edge. It wouldn't surprise me if they added a backup offensive lineman, just like someone with more experience, and they could lean on a little bit more, especially now if they really want to do the six-man line. You know, the importance of the backup becomes even greater, because if Fred Johnson were to be injured, you need someone to step in and do that. So I think backup offensive line and edge are definitely possibilities. But I also think corner, it'd be easier to expose that second corner than it would be to expose a bad pass rush. Because the pass rush, really, like the interior has been pretty good. You're getting Nolan Smith back. We'll see what he's able to bring, but he's at least coming back. You know, I would think against the Packers, if not definitely against the Lions. And then Brandon, I would assume, is going to play against the Packers. So you're getting guys back there. At corner, you're really just depending on Kelee Ringo and Adoree Jackson. And through eight games, I think Keeley has probably been like slightly better than he's given credit for, but I don't think either has shown they're somebody that in a playoff game you want starting against some of these awesome receiving cores that they'll probably be going up against. So, you know, with the second corner, offenses can really target in and like pick on that spot. And so I think that's a bigger need heading into the deadline.
Well, one of the guys we just talked about a little bit in the last segment, you know, with the Steelers, their defense is kind of a disaster right now. Darius Slay not having a very good year. Say the Steelers were to put him on the market, is that a guy you think the Eagles would have interest in?
Yeah, I absolutely would. I would have interest, and I would think they would have interest. Now, he is not, to your point, like the player that he was 2 years ago. I think coming back to this defense, coming back with Vic Fangio, being around guys he played with for a few years, you might get a better version of him. Also, Quinyon travels now with the top guy, so Slay would have more advantageous matchups. I do think contractually for the Steelers, like I think they gave him $10 million. So it would be tough to trade him, but, you know, if he's gone after the year anyway and they're not pleased with this play, maybe they just view that as a sunken cost. So I think Slay would be welcome back in the locker room. I think his leadership would actually be really good for that defense. I know we talked with Brandon coming back about him being a leader, but I think Slay would check that same box as well, and Slay didn't retire. So I think, you know, he'd be able to come in as a more active player and really be that leader. So yeah, I don't think the cost would be much. Maybe a fifth round pick or something like that. So I would have interest if the Steelers were willing to do it.
Elliot Shore Parks joining us now, and we'll get to the Sixers in a few minutes here, Elliot. But I need to ask you about AJ Brown. Obviously, it's been the hot topic. Next week, trade deadline, AJ's name has been mentioned in discussions. What do you think the odds are that something ends up happening with AJ being dealt?
Prior to the deadline, I would put it at 15%. And I would put it there just because I can't predict how AJ might feel, right? Like, if AJ just decides that he wants out and there are teams around the league like telling him, like, we're interested in trading for you, now obviously that would be tampering, but we all know that goes on. So that would be the 15%, where I think there's a small chance that maybe he just decides he wants out. That being said, I would be surprised if he did that. It doesn't strike me as AJ's type to like demand a trade out. And I think they would only trade him if he demanded a trade. Like, I don't think the Eagles are eager to trade AJ Brown. If a team called up and offered a huge package in terms of a player and a draft pick, and you could help this team while also arguing you're helping the team for the future, then yeah, I think they would consider it, but I don't think they're eager to move AJ. And because of that, I would say the chances are pretty small.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the general sense that everybody gets as well. But 15%, I mean, it's certainly not nothing. And, you know, how has that changed from the beginning of the year, Elliot? Like, obviously, it wouldn't have been thought about at training camp that this would be an impossibility at all. How much has your thinking changed kind of since then?
Yeah, I mean, it's changed quite a bit. Like, if you had asked me prior to the season, would AJ be on the roster in 2026? Then I think there was a real discussion about, you know, one more year, we'll see what happens. And like, because there has been, obviously, I think the frustrations with the passing game are nothing new. There's obviously been, you know, the talk of the relationship between him and Jalen. So like, there are reasons to consider that he could have been moved after this year anyway. But I think the in-season thing is just the amount of smoke that there is right now. I think teams believe he could be had if they offer a huge, you know, collection of picks and players. And that changes things. Like, and I also just think his frustration, you wonder if the Eagles would be more willing to do it. So prior to the season, if you would ask me, you know, leading up to that home opener against Dallas, the chances I would have said he was traded in season maybe would have been like 2%. So it's definitely gone up based off everything that's happened the first half of the season.
Yeah, and Elliot, I wanted to move over to the Sixers now because obviously off to a 4-0 start here. Incredible performances from Tyrese Maxey leading the way. Just your overall impressions of them so far and how excited are you for this team?
I mean, they're awesome to watch. And that really, like, I know that sounds simplistic, but after such a painful year last year where they were so terrible to watch, and really even the 2 years before that, like, they were contenders and, you know, there were games where Joel was awesome, but I don't think they were as likable as this team. Like, watching Maxey, watching VJ. And I think the most exciting thing about this team is it's the beginning of something, right? Like, this is not a championship. It's not like a true championship contender. Of course, anything could happen, but they're not a true championship contender. This year can end really without winning a playoff series, and I think you could view it as a potentially very positive year. And it's just nice not to have the weight of expectations on this team after so many years of it being like, you have to get out of the second round. You know, they never show up in the playoffs. Will Joel be healthy? Like, none of that was fun towards the end. And I think this team is fun now. So it's just refreshing to get to watch them.
Now, and you talk about the expectations, Elliot, and that's one of the discussions we've had today a little bit. But when you look at this team, are you raising your expectations at all? Do you look around the landscape of the Eastern Conference and think this team could be a legit contender?
I think they could contend in the way that Maxey's unbelievable. VJ's been awesome. They're 4-0. So, like, I know it's obviously very early, but, you know, special seasons normally start like this. So who knows how at the end of the season where they will be in the playoff seeding and all that. But I'll tell you this, like, it does not matter to me one iota how Joel Embiid or Paul George plays this year. Like, I hear everybody say you have to have them to be a serious contender. That's not the way to view this season. The second you need to depend on Joel or Paul George, you have missed the point of this season. This season is about Tyrese Maxey, VJ Edgecombe, McCain, Grimes, like in the building of the next core of this team. Is there a world where like they're in the playoffs, Joel is healthy because he's played limited minutes, the East isn't that good, and they make a run? Of course there is, but I don't think that should be the expectation. So raising expectations on this team, I think, is like the exact wrong thing to do.
Well, it should be fun. They're obviously off to a good start. That's been good to see. But Elliot Shore Parks, back with Go Birds Evenings tonight, correct, Elliot?
Absolutely. Yeah, 6 to 8. I got to get Hugh one of these weeks, but we got Devin Caney tonight, so we'll do midseason awards. Yeah, excited for it. So 6 to 8.
Oh, nice. There you go. So Elliot Shore Parks will be on with Devin tonight for Go Birds Evenings. Elliot, thanks for hopping on, man. Appreciate it.
Yep, talk to you soon.
All right, take it easy. Elliot Shore Parks, man, he really did checkmate me there with the Backstreet Boys. I didn't get a chance to hear that yesterday. And what can you say to that?
You got to do it now.
Yeah.
You got to sing the part.
All right. I'll take a shot. Kyle looks like he does not want to hear this at all.
You want to sing for the Backstreet Boys?
No. No, we're talking about singing my open. Rapping my open.
Oh, yeah. Don't do that, man.
Why not?
Because it'll be embarrassing.
I mean, what we do every day, isn't what we do every day somewhat embarrassing?
Yeah. Yes.
So, not, I mean, what's the difference?
The only person who doesn't embarrass himself is Kyle.
That's right.
Kyle's all business all the time.
No, he's not. Yep. Goofball. Kyle, you're
Kyle's kind of like scaring me today, honestly. Normally, he's in kind of a decent mood.
No,
like, Kyle seems legitimately mad at me today.
When you say you didn't like his take, Kyle's like, I don't care. He said, I don't care.
Like, today, I'm like, does Kyle not like me? Or is he, like, mad at me?
Yeah. A little bit.
I don't know.
It's all good.
All right.
Good.
Let's get better takes.
Let's go to Andre in Chester. What's up, Andre?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, Andre?
First time caller, long time listener. Listen, this is for Hugh. Hugh, I don't want no beef, but I would like a spirited debate.
Okay.
You said that the Detroit Lions score 30 points regularly. They don't. They scored 30 or more points four times. Three times, they scored under 25. And the teams that they did put up 30 or more on, my high school team could put up 30 on. Cincinnati, Cleveland, Baltimore, Chicago.
Hold on.
Come on, man.
Cleveland has one of the best defenses in the league.
Not anymore. Andre. They did early in the year.
Can I ask you a question, Andre?
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely.
What standings are you looking at? Like, seriously.
I'm looking at.
Because no, they put 52 on the Bears.
Okay, yes, they did.
And they put 38 on the Ravens.
They scored 30 or more.
Wait a minute, listen, let me finish. They put 52 on the Bears, right?
One game. Okay, go ahead.
They put 38 on the Ravens, right?
All right,
They put 34 on the Cleveland Browns.
Three games, go ahead.
They put 37 on the Bengals.
Okay,
and 24 on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I said they're putting 30 plus. So what does that average out to you? Like, if I average those out, like Andre, I hear what you're saying, but I said they're
putting 30 on the regular.
Andre, the point was they're averaging 30 points on the regular. I apologize.
You didn't say they're averaging.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Andre. But they're scoring points. And Andre, the point that I was making. Andre, are you gonna let me speak? Because I'm trying to let you speak. I mean, we're having a spirited debate, and I'm allowing you to speak. But the point that I was making, Andre. Okay, I'll give you this. I was being hyperbolic, but the point is this: we just scored 38 points for the first time Sunday. They've been doing this more so than we have. Do you agree with that?
I agree.
And that's the only point that I was trying to make. I apologize if I was being hyperbolic in my take. But I do a talk show every day, so I'm hyperbolic at times.
Now, I'll say this, that we have the same record, and we beat better teams. We beat better teams than they beat. And we have the same record without putting up 30-plus points a game. So, okay, I'll give you – maybe Detroit might be the biggest threat to Philadelphia. It's definitely not Green. I don't know where this Green Bay conversation coming at. Is this the same team that just tied with Dallas? Is this the same team we beat twice last year? Is this the same team that's never been to the conference championship game?
I mean, you must be talking to Kyle or TK because I didn't say Green Bay was a threat.
I'm talking to other listeners that like to talk about Green Bay or anybody.
But my point is this, Andre. What is your biggest issue with what I said?
My biggest issue is. It seems like you keep downplaying the Eagles and hyping up these other teams.
You made your point. How am I downplaying the Eagles? What did I say to you that triggered you to make this phone call that I'm downplaying the Eagles?
They just scored 38. We just scored 30 points this season.
Okay.
Like, this week.
So is that – okay, Andre, is that a lie? Is that a lie?
No,
did I lie?
True. No, you did not.
So what am I doing to downplay the Eagles?
Because you're making more out of it than it is.
Okay, Andre. Let me finish. Because, like, Andre, we got a show to do. So I'm gonna ask you this: did we get our ass kicked by the Green Bay? Excuse me, the New York Giants.
Yeah.
And they're a bad team, correct?
Yes.
So we put 38 points on a bad team.
Yes.
You're happy about that?
No. What I'm happy about is.
So again, no, Andre. Let's stick to this point because you called in because you had an issue with what I said. So what is the issue? The Baltimore Ravens, did you consider them a good team before the quarterback got hurt?
Before the first game of the season,
Andre,
Did you consider them a good team?
Okay.
Until they started playing. Yes,
okay. Okay. And so they
until they started playing.
So again, Andre, what is the point that made you so upset by what I said that you called in?
Listen, all I said was that, okay, Detroit put up a couple numbers, a couple games. That's all well and good. They're still 6-2 or 5, whatever they are, they're still tied with us.
How
they're
am I downplaying the Eagles? Andre, how am I downplaying what the Eagles are doing?
They're not better than Philly.
Do they look better than Philly right now, Andre? Have you been excited about the way the Eagles have been playing the last 3 weeks?
Nah.
Okay, so Andre, again, why is it when I say the Detroit Lions look better than the Eagles, you agreeing with everything that I'm saying, but I'm not being realistic? How does that work for you?
No. What I said was,
I'm downplaying the Eagles.
Putting up 30 plus.
No, Andre, let's stick on the point where you said I'm downplaying the Eagles. Let's go to that point. So how am I downplaying the Eagles when you just admitted and you agree with me that you haven't been too excited about the way they've been playing?
I told you, I'm not excited about you the way you end of the game, when that clock goes 0-0-0-0,
Andre, got you. Appreciate the call. Got to move on.
This is ridiculous. Like, I understand, like, and I'm not mad at Andre, but y'all got to start listening to what's being said, man. That's it. Like, I don't mind the debate, but when you call here and you say things and then you agree with what I'm saying, like, what is the issue?
Well, this is the thing. Like, I believe the Eagles are better than Detroit. That being said, I mean, you're right. Detroit has put up more points against better competition than the Eagles have.
Andre, I apologize if I say they've been putting up 30 points a game. I apologize for that. They have been more consistent than the Eagles.
Absolutely. And they've scored a lot of points.
They have been more consistent than the Eagles.
Yeah, they have been. And obviously, you know, we'll see how it plays out the rest of the year. And that game in a few weeks is going to be big. But yes, Detroit's offense has been much better than the Eagles' offense. That's not a debatable point.
Yeah, Detroit's averaging 30.7 points a game.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kyle.
Yeah.
The Eagles are averaging 26.
Yeah, they're scoring a ton of points.
And that's the point that I was trying to make. All I'm saying is, that if we want to win this game, and the only way our average has been helped was the game this weekend against the I was about to say Chicago Bears, because we got to play them too. But the Giants. It's been helped with the Giants win. And the Giants kicked our ass and put 30 on us 2 weeks ago. So I'm not here trying to make Eagle fans mad by me sounding like, and I'm not trying to sound like I don't like the Eagles. I play for the Eagles. I bled for the Eagles. I'm not doing that. But you have to listen to what's being said. Right now, it feels like we just turned the corner as far as the way we're playing. They've been consistently playing better the whole year.
Yeah.
Let me pull that back, because somebody will get mad about that. They've been playing consistent the whole year.
They have been. I mean, there's no question about it. Detroit so far this year, I would agree, you know, they've been more consistent, especially offensively, than the Eagles. That's a different conversation than the one we were having earlier about, you know, who's the best team in the NFC. I still think it's the Eagles moving forward, because I think they've finally started to come into their own a little bit. They've fell into a rhythm. But so far this year, obviously, I mean, Detroit has played better offensively, and I don't think that's really debatable.
Yeah, I'm not afraid. I don't think Green Bay that great, though.
No. Green Bay, I have a hard time getting a handle on what Jordan Love is. I mean, sometimes he looks like a top five
guy. I think
he's
just okay.
Yeah, other times he looks like he's just another quarterback. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. We'll get back into all this coming up after the break. Are you raising your expectations for the Sixers? Also, with the Eagles, do you think they're clearly the best team in the NFC as we head into the second half of the year? And heard a Sixers take from Boogie Cousins yesterday that will play coming up next. Let me get Hugh's take on this. So we'll get to that coming up next. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. This is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Y'all ever wonder why Fanatics Sportsbook is America's fastest online growing sportsbook? Most sportsbooks, well, their rewards are just flat. But at FanCast, it's the ultimate sports currency. And betting with Fanatics lets you stack FanCast. With Fanatics Sportsbook, you can get up to 10% FanCast back on your wagers, win or lose. How exciting is that? My Kyle's over there laughing. Use your fan cash to unlock the world of Fanatics with Profit Boots. And it says Profit Boots. That's not me. It says Profit Boots. Exclusive merch, collectibles, game tickets, and so much more. That's real value for your sports fandom. Did I also mention that they're giving away millions in fan cash this year with games like Fan Cash Drops that is offered live in Fanatics Sportsbook app every single Friday. So switch to a sportsbook that always has your back. Go check it out for yourself and download the Fanatics Sportsbook app today. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, it's Jonah Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Kyle, I see Kyle got jokes, man. We are friends.
That was entertaining in the last segment.
I love everybody. It's just that I just don't understand how I'm downplaying the Eagles, but you agree with what I said.
I like when you get in that mode, Hugh.
No,
you get in, you know, adversarial mode.
Well, it's the, like, I don't mean to be adversarial, and I don't want anybody to think it's like that, but we're arguing semantics at that point.
Yeah, really.
Like, they're not scoring 20 points a game. They're average. Like, I should have worded it better, because I feel like now, especially when it comes to sports debates, you have to be very articulate in what you say.
I thought
in
you,
order to get your point across.
I thought you were extremely articulate.
I thought I was. Then he flushed me. You know, and I got flushed and I couldn't think. So I'm just like, I'm trying not to cuss on there.
Always articulate.
Yeah.
But I'm not mad. Like, let me just say this. I'm not mad because we're all passionate about sports. But, man, sometimes it's just like, come on, man. We're arguing about little details that we really don't need to argue. Well, we're not arguing. We're debating.
Right.
About little details.
And we're arguing.
That we don't need to argue about. Because we both said, like, the Eagles are playing well now.
Yeah.
They haven't been playing well before.
Yeah, it's fair.
And that's not downplaying it. That's just stating a fact.
Yes.
They're starting to turn the corner.
I agree.
So I don't
I'm not arguing with you.
No, I'm just saying, yeah. I don't understand. What are we debating about, dude? No, What are we talking about?
You hate the Eagles.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is true. He's a known Eagles hater.
Every day we come on here and I make it my business to try to say, okay, I'm gonna be clear and concise in what I say.
Nope.
It never works.
Still waiting.
It never works.
This segment sponsored by McGurk's Pub. If you're looking for a spot to watch the game, make it McGurk's. We've been to all the McGurk's locations, and they all nice have awesome food. They really do. And the perfect game day atmosphere. So head on out to McGurk's. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. But to reset the table on some of the things we've been talking about today, the Eagles, as we hit the bye week here, and the Eagles 6-2. And the question we're asking is, you know, do you still clearly believe the Eagles are the best team in the NFC? Because have they been so far this year? To your point, Hugh, no, they haven't. I mean, they have not been the best team to this point. But projecting moving forward, in my mind, I still think they are clearly the best team. I think this is the way they were viewed during training camp. They've had their rough spots, but nothing to the point that's made me, you know, think less of the team. And I look at how things project moving forward. They're pretty healthy. Nolan Smith's been out. They're getting him back. Offensive line, you're getting a little healthier. Brandon Graham, you add back into the fold. I think offensively, obviously, there have been a lot of ups and downs so far this year. I really think they're starting to find something with Kevin Petullo, this under-center play action. They've experimented with a lot of different things. I think they're figuring it out. And when I look at the talent of this team, I get the Lions are good, Packers, teams in the NFC West, Bucks, all these teams.
Yeah.
I just think the Eagles are still clearly, in my mind, the best team in the NFC.
And
like, if I have to bet right now on a team to make Super Bowl, I'm betting on the Eagles.
You know what, though, Tom? And this is the thing. Let's not forget that we were forced to go on the center now. I mean, you know, I hate to be the drunk uncle at the barbecue and hate
here
the Eagles.
Here you go again.
here we go.
Here I go. Hate
Eagles
the Eagles.
Hater view.
Here I go. Hate
Raiding
on the Eagles.
Our parade.
But they were forced to go on the center. They were forced to do that.
Yeah.
And it looks better. And now you've learned from your mistakes. But Cam Jurgens doesn't get hurt. We're not under center as much. I mean, that's just what it is.
You got to make adjustments, though. They're making adjustments.
But they made adjustments out of necessity, not because they say, hey, we're just making adjustments just to be making them. They had no choice because Toth couldn't shotgun Ike. He couldn't Ike the ball. So they're doing better now. That's the overall point that I'm making. But it's not like they were on the track to doing better. They had to do it because they had no other choice.
So do you think when Juergens comes back, this stuff stops? Do you think they do revert back? Because I really hope that's not the case.
That's a good question. That is a good question. Toth has been playing better. He has been playing better. I think the fact that you put what they call it, elephant out there, whatever they would call it, we would call it elephant. When you put the extra lineman out there, the bigger package, whatever. I think that has helped out a lot, you know, to try to get the running game going. The running game, that travels well.
Yeah.
And I think Saquon has hit his stride. I think that Tank Bigsby coming into his own has helped out tremendously. But you have to see it again. And it's fair to say, you know, just like when the caller Andre called in and he said, you know, Detroit hasn't played anybody. We beat up on the Giants.
Fair. Yeah.
We beat up on the Giants.
Yeah. Detroit has played somebody, though.
Yeah. I mean, we beat up on the Giants, but it's one of those things where I'm a firm believer in, hey, they're all NFL teams, regardless of what the record are any given Sunday. We saw the Jets finally get a win this weekend. So anything can happen. So you have to take that with a grain of salt, but I like the direction that the Eagles are trending.
Definitely. And I look at it, and I just think it's more about the Eagles than these other teams. I still think they're the most talented and think they're heading the right direction and think they're the best team in the NFC. So you want to get on that, you're welcome to. Also with the Sixers. Sixers 4-0, are you raising expectations? We talked to Elliot in the last segment. He said he doesn't want to raise the expectations for this team and kind of enjoy the ride. And I think you can do both. Like, I'm enjoying the ride. I'm enjoying watching Maxey, enjoying watching Edgecombe, but I can't lie. Like, I look at the Eastern Conference right now, and you got the Knicks who are good. You got the Cavaliers who are good. Other than that, there's nobody in the Eastern Conference.
You see him, Kyle. He out here picking out tuxedos, wedding venues. Did you get a cake yet for the wedding?
I have not. I might could go ring shopping after the show.
No, I'm saying, you know, he's jumping back in, and he see the young guys playing at 4-0. They can win it all.
Why not us, man?
You're setting yourself up to get hurt again.
Why can't we win the Eastern
Conference? You're doing the whole, this is weak, this is a good,
you know. It is weak. It's terrible.
I know, but that's going to make it worse. If the Sixers, if you raise your expectations and the Sixers can't come out of, or like, you know, go deep in the playoffs in a weak Eastern Conference, aren't you just going to feel worse because
it's weak?
What if
they can, Kyle?
They can.
What if they can? Why not? They have Maxey. They have Edgecombe. They have McCain. They have Embiid. They have George.
They're not ready.
They're one of the most talented teams in the conference. I disagree. Come on. You guys got to just let your...
Don't be afraid to love again.
Don't be afraid to love.
I'm definitely afraid.
I ain't about to marry the first time.
You got to love again. So are you ready to raise expectations on this Sixers season? I am. Hugh and Kyle are not. They don't want to commit. 215-592-9494. In a minute, we will get to some sound from Boogie Cousins regarding the Sixers. First, let's go back to the phones. Go to AT in Overbrook Park. What's up, AT?
What's up, fellas? Very, very entertaining show, man.
What's up, AT, man? How you doing, man?
Big Hugh. So listen, man, I'm going against you today, Hugh, because I'm believing in the Sixers. This is my early
Sixers hater, Hugh, man, over here. Unbelievable.
AT, I'm gonna let you have it, man. I'm gonna sit back and just listen.
So you know, this is my early season prediction. Now that they've won this four games in the way they won it, I got to say they're a 6 seed this year or higher. I got to give them that much. And then after about 25 games, I'm going to come again. And so I believe, because, you know, based on what the East is, like, you know, you got the Knicks, they bought in Brunson, and now all of a sudden they became a top 3 team. And you got the Pacers, when they emerged, they bought in Halliburton. So these teams wasn't, like, built up to constantly dominate. They just came in with a couple key pieces, and look where they're at. Look where they are. So now why can't we do that? Why,
can I ask you a question, AT? Can I ask you a question? I'm going to let you cook, but do you really think we can win it all, though? Win it all.
Win the East.
6 seed with Joe. It depends on what Joe end up looking like.
AT, I ain't asked you all that. I asked you a yes or no question. You're giving me ifs and maybes. I'm going to ask you again, AT. Do you think they can win it all?
I'm a basketball realist. I'm not ready to say they can win it all yet.
Okay, that's all we're talking about. I'm excited to see as far as they go. Now, I want to see how far they go, and I'm going to be pulling for them. But my man TK over here, he trying to buy a wedding. He trying to buy a tuxedo. He trying to get married. He talking about going all in with the squad.
Nah. After 25 games, I might change it. But can I drop one Eagles point?
You got it. It's all you. Go for it.
Listen, Detroit is fugazi, man. They was last year number one seed. What happened to them? We 1-4 against Jared Goff. We 3-0 against Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. Like the team I'm worried about Baker Mayfield. That's the one quarterback in the NFC that scared me. The rest of them dudes, we 4-4 against Stafford. I looked all this up. So yeah, the team like Baker Mayfield, he has done it recently to us. He has got us. The rest of these dudes, man, when it comes down to the come down, we got hurts and they don't have hurts. And so let's see how – and that's when Kurtz are going to show is the difference in who's under the center, not just the team. Yeah, Detroit team, they had a moment. They look so good, blah, blah, blah. But they who's under center? Like, we dudes don't scare me, man. Jared Goff don't scare me, man. His own team.
I mean, but that ain't –
I hear you,
I hear you, but that – but A.T., that ain't the dude that I'm worried about. I'm worried about those two running backs, man. Jahmyr Gibbs and what's the other cat name?
Montgomery.
They call him Sonic and Knuckles.
Yep.
Them cats are home run hitters, dog. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, listen to this. The last game, Jahmyr Gibbs, 17 carries, 136 yards, dog.
Gibbs is legit, man. I mean,
no, like when I say this, it's not so much I'm worried about the quarterback. The quarterback's gonna do what he does. You know, in the last game he had 241 yards. You know, he was okay. But when you talk about a team that has two running backs, like we're starting to merge with our two, but man, that's the thing that scares me. And Amara St. Brown, he's not bad. He's not bad.
Oh, no. He's pretty damn good.
Yeah, he's really good.
I'm sensing deep Lions fear from Hugh.
I am too.
Like big time.
A lot of Lions fear.
I think he is trembling.
I know
in fear.
Hugh doesn't like the S word here, but I don't know. Seem a little scared, Hugh.
You guys are ridiculous.
you're a lot of Lions praise today. Right. Do we have another Detroit Douglas? Is this a new alter ego?
You know what? You guys are worse than you people. I try to sit here and drop these hot analysis on a daily basis, and y'all work my last nerve.
Oh man,
I need combat pay. I need what Bryce Harper
Excuse
needs.
Me? Yeah,
I need combat pay. I need to be.
You want a financial apology?
I couldn't get it out fast enough. I need to be financially apologized to.
I heard you asking for a financial apology on the air yesterday.
Especially after I had to pay for these shoes that I couldn't let John Richard have.
What did you say yesterday? Give me a million, I think was the exact quote.
Well, you know, you got to aim high. You know, when Yad look at me and start cursing at me, then you back it off a little bit.
I just get in the wrong. I literally, it was perfect. I get in the car yesterday, and I'm listening for 5 seconds. And all I hear is you say, give me a million. I'm like, oh, there's you.
That's all I need.
Looking for money again.
If you give me a million, I'll be all right. Okay, I'll compromise.
Yeah.
I'll take 600,000.
You know what? I think I might have kind of figured out what's at the real root of you caping for the Lions so much.
Caping for the Lions. Well, you know, good. Google it.
Well,
okay.
You know your boys in Detroit.
Who?
Tobias.
Crumble Cook? No.
Yeah.
No, no.
Congratulations, Tobias Harris.
He's in Detroit.
Yeah, no, that's not it.
Okay.
Right. I just look at them, like the games that I've seen the Lions play.
Yeah.
They control the clock for the most part. They do a good job of controlling the clock, and they can run the ball at any point on the field. They can run the football. Because I saw one, I think Jahmyr, like the last game, he riffed off a 60-yard run or something like that. And that's the thing, like, whoa. We haven't seen a running back of that caliber this year.
He's got to be the fastest running back.
Yeah, we haven't seen one like that. So that's and the fact that they can throw, it's a little concerning because they're a team that can do both. Like the teams that we played this year, when you look at them, they're either one or the other.
Yep.
You know, and the quarterback play, and you know, people trying to poo-poo on Jared Goff. Dog, we lost to Jackson Dart. We lost to Bo Nix, and these are young quarterbacks. Jared's been around the block a little bit.
Yeah.
And you know what? Jared's a lot bigger quarterback than I thought he was, too. He ain't no little dude.
No, I like Goff as a player, but what Goff's dealing with is, you know, these big games have been a massive problem for him.
Yeah, yeah, he's not the big game dude, but, you know, it's and you could even throw in the point that they're not a great road team, but still, they can run the football. The running game travels well.
Yeah.
And they're playing solid defense, and your boy just got – Hayden Hutchinson just got paid.
I'll tell you what, man. That is news for a potential Jalen Carter extension. I know they play different positions, but both up front.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Eagles are going to have to pay Jalen Carter a lot of money next offseason.
Yeah, he's going
to break bread. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. But as far as the Sixers go, obviously they're off to this 4-0 start. But did want to play a little bit of audio for you, because obviously a lot of takes flying around first week of the season here. And the Sixers, a lot of the success has come with Joel Embiid not in there a lot of the time. I mean, Joel Embiid has sat out one of the games, obviously been on minutes restriction. Here was former NBA player Boogie Cousins talking about the Sixers and how they've been playing without Embiid.
One, when Joel Embiid is on the floor, we all know the Sixers are playing through Joel Embiid. So it's a completely different playing style. Now with him being out of the, well, not being out of the lineup, but with limited minutes, you get to see an entirely different playing style with these two front court guards. So with that being said, it's a valid question. And they also have an opportunity to get a small sample size of what the future looks like for the Philadelphia 76ers moving forward. So is it a valid question? Absolutely. And I'm pretty sure the front office are having talks about it, what it looks like, what the possibility is, and, you know, should we consider closing this door moving forward or what? So I absolutely think it's a valid question.
Hey, it's Joe to Camera.
And I'm John Ritchie.
Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And that was Cousins basically saying, you know, Sixers are better off without Embiid. I get the point of they're able to play more freely. They're able to run things through the young guys. But this is when it comes to this year. Ultimately, I don't think they're, like, better without Embiid. I think they're better with Embiid playing maybe a lesser role. Mm-hmm. But if they're going to win anything significant, they're going to need Joel Embiid to be a big part of that.
I don't know. It's still early. And we've seen the big fella, like, he had a good game last night. But your biggest asset is your availability. And it's clear the way that they're playing him. He didn't play on the one night where they had the back-to-back, that they're concerned about his health. So I think that if you're being honest about it, they're looking to try to see how they look as long as they possibly can without him contributing as much, to see if they can make a run. This is still up in the air. This is still up in the air, and they're still trying to figure out what they want to do with Joel. I think the reason why he played as much as he did, let's be honest, because he complained. He complained about his minutes, well, and that's why he was out there.
And like, again, I get the point in terms of, like, you're able to do more with the young guys. You're able to run a lot more, which this team is suited to run. They have a lot of youth on the floor, a lot of athleticism. That is what, you know, is going to help them out significantly. But if we are talking about winning this year, they are going to need Joel. Like, they are going to need to find a way to make this work. And I think they can mesh it together. Like, I think it's a positive, honestly, that you've been able to do all this without Joel on the floor. Because, let's face it, in his career so far, one of the Sixers' biggest issues has been when Joel Embiid's been hurt, when he's been out, or he's been on minutes restriction, whatever, the team just falls apart. Like, and maybe part of that is they run things through him to an unhealthy degree. But I think you should be able to mesh it together. Kyle, I'll ask you, Boogie Cousins' point, Sixers better without Joel. How do you feel about that?
I wouldn't say they're better without Joel, like him off the floor. I think the point that hits me the most is that they're probably better not running the offense through him. Like, I think we might just have to face the reality that Joel Embiid's probably just like a role player right now. And I think that's probably the best version of the Sixers. The team has to run through the guards. I think it's that simple.
Do you think he will be okay with that? Because I agree. I think they should run through Maxey. They should run through Edgecombe. Yeah, I mean, he needs to understand he's at a different point in his career now. And hey, Joel's talked about wanting to win. If he really wants to win, he better be okay with
this. Yeah, like, if he's going to put his money where his mouth is, then he has to be okay with that.
Yeah, I agree. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Jay in Philly. What's up, Jay?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, Jay?
Hey, man. So, Hugh, man, perfect analogy with TK and the Sixers, man. Like, TK, that dude that tell you about a woman, you got to ask him when he met the woman, because he might have met her 2 days ago, and he's ready to get married, man. We got to slow down, man. Sixers haven't played. Who have we played? A healthy Cleveland, the Knicks, getting out the East with this team? No, I don't think so. I don't even see.
They beat Boston, Jay. They got to win over Boston.
Stop it, TK. Be serious. TK, that Boston team is hot trash, man. And the messed up thing is they're going to mess around being the lottery this year, mess around, get a real high draft, take a great player, and Tatum going to come back. Matter of fact, I don't even want to make everybody sick. But we're not even going to talk about that part of it.
Well, they could have a year like the Sixers had last year. And that's the thing, Jay. I mean, last year was painful in the moment. But, hey, last year ultimately was worth it to get Edge going.
And that's why, like you said, just enjoy the dating stage right now, and, bro. Yes.
And, Jay, you know what? Man. I'm about to hit there with some reality. Who was the dude that they were thinking about drafting that didn't want to be here? Like, he made
Ooh,
it.
Ace Bailey.
Like, Ace Bailey was supposed to be here until he told him, nah. And we got lucky. I
think they would have taken Edgecombe anyway.
I don't think so.
They were not. TK, we were not.
I don't know.
Boy, I tell you, revisionist history.
I don't know. Yeah, I think you have to give Daryl Morey a little more credit.
Yeah,
do we have to?
Yes. He's been a very good drafter.
He's been a great drafter.
You was about to say a great drafter.
He is.
He has been. I mean, Maxey, McCain, Edgecombe, Bona.
I'm not going to push back on that one.
Yeah. Good.
They were looking at Ace Bailey like he was a little KD, which he certainly wasn't.
Nobody said that, but Elliot.
Elliot was the only one who said that.
Yes.
No, come on. Elliot wasn't the only person. There were other people.
But nobody on the Sixers said it.
Yeah,
is the point.
Yeah, they didn't compare him.
Who made that up?
What means were you in with that anyway, Kyle?
He said, right, "What so, over. were you
what
in?
What meeting was Kyle in with Daryl Morey? Okay, cool. So the Eagles too." Hugh, you're right, man. Detroit is by far the most scary opponent that we could have because they're explosive. And they're explosive from running to how that sets up the pass. And they have playmakers on defense all over. People talking about they fizzled out last year. They had as many injuries I've seen as a good team have going into a playoff.
Yeah,
that probably I've ever seen. You know, like them healthy is an animal, man. So, I'm not worried about Green Bay because Jordan Love will turn the ball over in critical times.
It just feels like that. It really does.
Yeah, but it feels like we should meet Detroit. Like, we should. As long as they're healthy and we're healthy, man. But people talking about trading A.J. Brown before the year is out is crazy. So what do you think? Because Tank Bigsby had one good game, we're going to turn our attack into Detroit's attack in the middle of a season and change everything and make it to the Super Bowl? Absolutely not. AJ can go in the offseason, but he's got to be here. It's about the playoffs from now on. It's about playoffs and Super Bowls. And regular season, we can win a bunch of games probably without him, but we're not winning a Super Bowl and getting through the NFC without AJ Brown's presence, man. Like it's just not going to happen. It's just not. So that's how I feel about AJ. He can go next year, but he's got to be here. And he's got to play this year for us to go back to the Super Bowl.
Well, I hear you, Jay. Good call. Thanks for calling in. And, yeah, I think AJ will probably be here. But, Hugh, Elliot put it at 15%. I know it's not, like, a high number, but it's kind of higher than I expected him to say. I mean, 20% is 1 in 5. It's 15% is relatively high, I think, when it comes to AJ.
Yeah, I mean, because we don't know. AJ sent him mixed messages, man. And I know nobody wants to talk about it. But, I mean, he is. And you just don't know where he's at. I'm kind of with Ike on this one. And me and Ike had a conversation about this. He's not actively asking to be traded that I know of. I haven't heard anybody say anything about AJ's went into the office and said that he wants to be traded. But he is giving off negative energy. You know, and, you know, like I said, when you're talking about trying to keep your unit cohesive and win football games, that doesn't sit well. Now, I think the Eagles can manage that because I think they have a good infrastructure where they can manage all that. But it's not a great work environment to go to work and be like, oh, what's wrong with this this cat today?
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong with this
Yeah.
cat?
Yeah. So.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to work.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people, there's somebody right now that went into work this morning and be like, damn, I got to deal with this fool today.
Yeah. No,
you know, and you try to smile and you're trying to, you know, do the right thing and say the, and you try to avoid him as much as you possibly can, but you really can't, and you're like, damn, I got to deal with this
today. I feel that's how Kyle's looking at me today, honestly.
He probably is.
That's exactly what I think. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. We'll continue taking your phone calls on the Sixers and Eagles in the final hour of the show. When we come back, everyone's most anticipated segment of the week, Hugh and I will do our updated quarterback power rankings in the NFL. That's coming up next. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. Alongside Hugh Douglas, it's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Hey, it's Joe to Camera.
And I'm John Ritchie.
Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.